John Harbaugh came here, looked at the Giants, looked at the roster, saw their young quarterback, knew that he was going to get paid a lot of money to come here. And for that money, he had to restore the pride in the Giant franchise. And I will say that no matter how that, whatever kind of start they get off to this year, they have a tough, really, two opening games. We know that. But I know one thing: over the long haul, just his presence will make the Giants significantly better from the organizational standpoint. And then remember what his expertise is. His expertise is special teams. What has killed the Giants the last 3 or 4 years?
Well, special teams been a big problem, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been a huge problem, especially at the kicking position. So he'll clean that up. And those little things will go a long way to winning close games. Now, one thing I will say, and we'll ask him when we have him on in about an hour, you know, I wish that Jackson Dart would play more in the preseason. I mean, he's learning a new offense, a new offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy's calling the plays. I'm assuming that it's some sort of version of the West Coast offense, because that's what Matt Nagy and Andy Reid's background is, and it's conceptual. It may be different than what Brian Daboll was running. And so I always worry about young quarterbacks in new systems early on in their career trying to learn those things and having those coaches learn those players. And you can't just do it on the practice field. You have to do it in game situations. And I'm a proponent of giving quarterbacks an opportunity to get into the season just like everybody else. I know everybody's deathly afraid of injuries, but kids have got to play. Guys have got to play, especially when they're in a new offense.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about the amount of coaches we have seen since this show started with you and I back in 2018. It was Pat Shurmur, Joe Judge, then Brian Daboll, and now John Harbaugh. So we're talking, it'll be 9 years coming up in January, 9 years and 4 head coaches with the Giants, which is something that all you need to know that those numbers and realize that it has been a disaster.
But you also remember what John Mara said about what they did to Daniel Jones. And I totally agree with what John Mara said. They screwed him up 50 ways to Sunday just simply because they kept changing offenses on him. He kept getting hurt.
They just did that with Jackson Dart, but sometimes you have to.
No, I'm not saying that. In this situation, definitely, because these other coaches that you're talking about were first-time head coaches. This is not the case now.
Yeah, right.
So, you hear a promo on the air here on WFN over the last month about me talking about a head coach holding everybody else accountable. So if the quarterback has a bad game, it's not always going to be about him. They're going to have to support the quarterback when he's off. So there's going to be a game where he's going to throw 3 interceptions, and the Giants may win the game. And they may win the game because the defense steps up, or the special teams make a play, or they get a turnover late in the game and they score a late touchdown, and then Jackson Dart can forget about the 3 interceptions and talk about the one touchdown pass that he threw. I think back to those Giant Super Bowl seasons and think about how great those defenses were, how many turnovers they came up with, how effective they were running the football. And that's the other part of this. I do think that Matt Nagy is going to try to run the football like he should, because this is a Northeast cold weather team. And if you want to win, if you want to win in Kansas City, you got to be able to run the ball late in the season. And it starts in practice day one, and it never stops. And it's a mindset that every football team should have, especially if you're outdoors in the cold weather late in the season. It's something that Bill Parcells preached over and over and over again with the Giants when he was the head coach there, and also with the Jets when he went and got Curtis Martin.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you need to do. I mean, you can't have some, high-flying, can-only-play-inside type of team when you play outdoors in the Northeast. And even though Baltimore is south of us, that's still a cold-weather, Northeast-esque type of team. And he's going to do the same exact thing here, if not more so. And he has had great relationships with his quarterbacks, Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson. And he won a championship with Flacco, did not with Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson had some of the most incredible years we have seen.
3 MVPs.
Statistically, from a quarterback in recent memory. So this is exactly what we're expecting from John Harbaugh and Jackson Dart. It was just, you were talking about running the ball on offensive line, and I had these flashbacks of the one game that we did a couple years ago. We got the Eagles and the Giants, and it was you and Phil and Jerry and me on the sidelines. And remember, they had to go to Josh Azudu.
They just traded, yes. Right.
Josh Azudu they had to go to, and what a nightmare that was.
Well, see, he was playing right tackle, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And it was, I remember being on the sideline, they were basically like teaching him technique during the game.
Well, they were trying to talk him off the ledge during the game.
Oh, and he was getting absolutely housed every single play. And the only reason I bring that up is because he was traded yesterday, and it's just, it feels like another turning of the page from the, some of these players that were here and some of the things that you have going on now. Not that the Giants don't have holes. I mean, they have holes. I mean, I think that even though Dexter Lawrence had a bad year for him last year, and he didn't want to be here any longer, you know, replacing him is not easy. I also think that the secondary, as we've talked about, there are issues. I mean, that's why they went and knocked on the door of the felon. So there's just a lot of holes that you could still talk about with this team. But I mean, the roster is good enough to compete in this division to win it. Now, I'm not saying they are, but it's certainly good enough to compete in the NFC East to have an opportunity to win it and at least try to get a wild card. And a winning season, you know, 9-8, I feel like has to happen with this group this year.
I think a quiet offseason is good for a number of players. And there are two players in particular that I thought, that I do believe right now, there's not been a lot said about them. Every now and then you see a blurb coming out of practice. You see, you know, hey, you know, this guy looks good, looks athletic. You know, maybe we'll move him around and he'll make some more plays. And those two players, number one is Abdul Carter. You know, since the post on X regarding his quarterback introducing President Trump, you've heard nothing. You've heard nothing. I mean, it's been quiet. There has been no controversy around him. I think that you've heard, you know, good things coming out of training camp. He looks athletic. He looks quick. All right. So that's one player. The other one is their first round draft choice, who they ended up trading Dexter Lawrence for, and that's Francis Maoyoga. And he's going to be starting at right guard. Eventually, he'll move out to right tackle when he gets a little bit more comfortable. I don't know if that will be this year or next year. You know, I think that's what they drafted him for. But they like to start these guys inside. It's a little bit easier for them. He's a massive human being. And he should allow the center, Schmitz, Michael Schmitz, to play better because he should be a stud right guard. So the offensive line should be relatively solid. They've traded away two offensive linemen already. There is a rumor out there, I don't know how true it is, but there is a young player that the Bears possibly could be trading off of their defensive line who started all 17 games for them last year. I don't know if the Giants would have any interest in that. I would think so, because I would think that would be a weak spot for them right now and a big question mark. You can't have enough defensive tackles, as far as I'm concerned, to stop the run.
Yeah.
But I do believe that, you know, when you're talking about these, you know, younger players, a kind of a quiet, you know, training camp, I think is a good thing and is a good sign for those two players.
Feel the same way about Arvell Reese?
I feel like it's been somewhat quiet. I think that he looks like just an incredible athlete on the field. And sometimes, you know, when you're out in space on defense and you're not sure where things are coming from, especially you could have all the intuition in the world, but like him, like a quarterback, is seeing things for the first time. And offenses are very clever, and they know how to take care of and utilize their advantages against younger players on defense. So you're going to see some mistakes. The question really comes down for him is, can he encumber his brain of thinking and just reacting and playing like we know he should be able to play?
Yeah, we're going to have to get this right because I've screwed it up many times as well, but it's Maui Noah. That's the way we got to pronounce it. Francis Maui Noah.
Maui Noah. Okay, what did I say? Maui Yoga? What did I say?
I don't know.
Yoga.
It doesn't matter what you said because you're never going to say it again. It's Maui Noah.
Maui Noah, yeah.
We got it now.
All right.
It's no problem because we're going to be talking about him as a offensive rookie of the year.
Very
has
unlikely.
An offensive lineman ever won offensive rookie of the year?
Maybe Anthony Munoz. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, you'd have to have a lot of really bad skill players in that class to have offensive player.
Especially
of the
if you have a quarterback that does play 17 games now.
Yeah, that too. Or a running back like we've seen. And this year, all eyes on Jeremiah Love, who's on a horrible team, but could still maybe provide some great moments and some fantasy football moments for everybody as they're hoping that happens for him.